You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Francesco Molinari fends off Tommy Fleetwood to be crowned Europe's number one golfer.
Very happy and very proud. Obviously, it's been an incredible year, an incredible season. I've achieved all I could ask for and even more. You know, obviously, you look at the names on the Race to Dubai trophy and the other merit before that, and it's only the top guys that have done it. And, you know, you put a major on top of that, and it's just a dream season.
Danny Willett claimed the season-ending DP World Tour Championship, his first victory since the Masters in 2016.
Pretty tricky old road, so, yeah, probably not going to sink in for a while, but, yeah, with all the ups and downs and injuries and this and that. Like I said, the body's feeling a lot better, but swings and moves are good and everything's good, but you know, there were times you're never quite sure if you're going to be able to do it again. Yeah, pretty special.
We'll review all the action as the curtain comes down on another fantastic season. Plus, we'll look ahead to the Honma Hong Kong Open presented by Amundi and the 2018 ISPS Handa Melbourne World Cup of Golf. And I'm joined by two-time European Tour champion. I keep saying two-time. It feels like more than two times, Jamie, but, you know, it was just two.
Daniel Cup there for England as well, Rob.
There's three. Jamie
so
Spence,
three, really,
Jamie Spence, legend.
You can say two.
I can say two. I've just, you know, my producer puts it down and I repeat it. So, what a win for Danny Willett, eh? Well, it's been coming.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah it has. Three top tens in Rolex events this year. His game's slowly been coming back, hasn't it, for Danny Willett, and he put himself in contention this weekend and he saw it through in style, I'd have to say. Got off to a great start yesterday and a little bit of a wobble on the start of the back nine. Brought a lot of players into the tournament, but then he just pulled away and the shot he hit on 17.
Wonderful, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's one of the shots he'll remember for the rest of his life.
Without a doubt, yeah. I mean, 200 plus and what I don't know, he probably ended up 5 feet from the hole. It was a fantastic shot.
Brilliant shot.
Molinari being the top golfer in Europe, no surprise after his season?
Well, Tommy could have put some pressure. Actually, if Tommy won, he would have won the Race to Dubai, wouldn't he? But it's a big,
it's hard
big
to
ask.
Do.
It's a tall ask. And
you know, actually, and you win the Open.
Yeah, Tommy's form, actually, on the Earth course isn't as good as it would be on other golf courses. But Frankie's year this year has just been spectacular, hasn't he? He's well-deserved European number one for everything he's done. You forget he won the BMW PGA Championship. He won the Quicken Loans out in the States as well.
Playing like Ben Hogan, by the way.
Shot 62 last round there. And obviously winning the Open Championship and then wins all his matches at the Ryder Cup. It's just an incredible year. And he's a different golfer.
It's almost like so many career-defining moments coming in a 12-month period. All in one go. You could spread those out through your career.
I don't know what he does now.
Well, that's the hard thing, isn't it?
What do you do now?
How do you reassess next year? I think you just put this in a can, put a lid on it, and you go again.
I know everyone writes their goals, don't they, at the start of the season. I wonder what his goals were at the start of this season.
Those wouldn't have been written down.
They were dreams, I would
say. Those wouldn't have been written down.
No, they wouldn't. And to then regroup now, he'd need some time off. I mean, he has struggled the last few weeks, not surprisingly, either after the Ryder Cup.
But as you said, Jamie, Tommy Fleetwood needed to win at the Earth course to overthrow Molinari, but a tied 16th finish ensured the Italian finishes top of the European Tour tree for the very first time.
Yeah, just very happy and very proud. Obviously, it's been an incredible year, an incredible season. I've achieved all I could ask for and even more. You know, obviously, you look at the names on the Race to Dubai trophy and the other merit before that, and it's only the top guys that have done it. And you know, you put a major on top of that and it's just a dream season. So I'm really happy to be here. I honestly probably never thought it was going to happen. You know, you can win tournaments, but to win a season-long race is much harder. And with the amount of great players we have on tour right now, it's really incredible. But, you know, it's obviously come from a lot of work last winter and the years before. And I need to relax for a while now and then start again from scratch.
What do you feel has been the main reason for the big successes this year?
I think just, you know, when I got the first win at Wentworth, then it was mainly confidence. I think obviously my game has improved a lot the last few years, but I was still missing that little bit of confidence, and Wentworth gave me some of that. Then winning in the US gave me even more than, you know, the Open even more, and it was just a building of momentum week after week. until probably after the Ryder Cup, where you know I started to feel quite empty and exhausted, as normal as it can be. So it's been a very long year, and you know I'm just very very happy and very proud for me, for my family, the people that work with me. It's just going to be a great winter now to sit down and reflect on what's happened, but then quickly we need to turn it around and work even harder to maintain the success next year.
So if you're Francesco Molinari, Jamie, and the plaudits of these, Francesco Molinari Open champion, Francesco Molinari Race to Dubai winner, Francesco Molinari 5 out of 5 at the Ryder Cup, or Francesco Molinari multi-millionaire, which is the bit that makes you curl up in a nice friendly ball?
The claret jug, yeah, definitely. That's the one.
Closely
followed by the Ryder Cup. 5 wins there.
Disappointing.
First European to do it.
Yeah, so disappointing.
Well, the money's going to come, isn't it? You're obviously thinking, I'm going to say money, aren't you?
Correct.
That's just—he's a wealthy man anyway. He's won plenty of tournaments. Forget the BMW PGA Championship, Rob, as well. Big one. He plays well around Wentworth, doesn't he? Certain courses, he's not unstoppable, but he's formidable. There's no doubt about it.
And what about the timing of his success with the next home Ryder Cup being in Italy?
Yeah, that's great. Great for the game. Great for the game in Italy. Great for that Ryder Cup as well. We need a Francesco Molinari. Don't forget, he's 36, so he's in the prime of his career. He's got another probably 4 or 5 years of peak golf in him, maybe a bit more than that, I'd say, because he's certainly fitter. He's hitting the ball further. He said he's hitting the ball 20 yards further. So he's carrying bunkers that he wasn't able to do so in the past, and that just makes the game a little bit easier for him, especially as accurate as he is. And obviously, he's holding a few putts as well, so he's got a great game. I don't think he needs to improve, but he just obviously needs to maintain that level somehow.
And you know, this game is such a difficult game, and it's such a knife edge. And triumph and disaster, they're just separated by nothing, a nanoscopic piece of thread. You go back to the BMW PGA Championship and his iffy pitch to the third shot to the par 5. He's got to make 5 to beat Rory. Leaves sort of half chip, half putt effort.
Could have spun in the water, couldn't it?
Could have spun in the water.
And Rory nearly held his putt.
And then the fourth shot wasn't great, and he had a 5-footer that he would have had to have holed if Rory had knocked his putting down the hill.
Yeah, but it's all ifs and buts.
I know, but
you always felt,
you know, if he doesn't win that,
no, you never know. Yeah, it could dent your confidence a little.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
But he was always in control of that tournament, and Rory was never that close to him. And it happened all of a sudden.
In 5 minutes, it happened.
It did happen all of a sudden, but he held him off really, really well. And I'm very fortunate this year. I was out with Frankie, with Tiger at the Open. That was
special.
And the thing is, we were talking in commentary saying, Tiger, 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 Tiger. And we got to the 10th. I said, hold on a minute. Molinari's not put a foot wrong. He's only one behind. Yeah. Let's not forget here. Because he was the forgotten man up to that point,
And the funny thing about that was he didn't especially like Carnoustie.
He does now.
I guess he does now, but it wasn't a course that he'd A, done particularly well in, particularly liked.
It's the tougher the course for Molinari, the better with his game.
Well, talking about tough courses, let's talk about his performance then at the Ryder Cup with Tommy Fleetwood for a couple of days and then singles.
Yeah, I had an inkling from our captain that the two of them were going to play together because they get on so well. And I think their games, I think in four-ball foursomes, you want a bit of yin and yang, you know. You want a bit of that flair and a bit of that solidity. And I think the two really mix up well. Plus, they get on really well and they wanted to play together. So, great pairing. And who would have thought they'd have done what they did? Pretty confident they were going to work well together, but not that well, winning all four games. I mean, they beat Tiger 3 times.
He was sick of the sight of them,
and
Tiger.
Then, of course, by Sunday, you know, your concern would be that they're running out of petrol. I mean, Tommy got beat 5 and 4 out in the country, but Molinari didn't. He won.
Tommy ran out of petrol,
and Frankie just kept going.
Yeah, he went on for the record.
Incredible.
It was incredible. How vocal or, you know, opinionated is Frankie in the behind the scenes at the Ryder Cup?
No, very, very quiet. He's a very understated man, Molinari.
Yeah.
I think the work that Dennis I was fortunate to work with Frankie for about 4 or 5 months back in 2013 on his putting and got close to him. And Dennis has done a terrific job with his mechanics and his swing. He's brought in a personal trainer as well, so he's strengthened up. He's always looking to improve. And I think the missing ingredient is Dave Allred. I think we've said that. He's a performance coach. And I always felt when I was with Frankie for that short period of time, I felt there was a brilliant player just hovering under the surface, you know. He was always a very good player, but he just needed that extra. I just wanted him to take it on a bit more and And I think now he's hitting the ball a little bit further, he's able to do that. And of course, when you start holding putts as well, he works with all the top coaches now. He's a formidable player.
Well, moments after Molinari was crowned the Race to Dubai champion, Danny Willett returned to the winner's circle with a two-shot victory at the Earth Course, his first, as we said, since the Masters in 2016. Willett made three birdies in his last five holes to get to 18-under, two clear fellow Englishman Matt Wallace and reigning Masters champion Patrick Reed. Let's hear from an understandably emotional Danny Willett.
It's been a tricky old road, so, it's probably not going to sink in for a while, but, yeah, with all the ups and downs and injuries and this and that, like I said, the body's feeling a lot better, but and swings and moves are good and everything's good, but, there were times that you're never quite sure if you're going to be able to do it again, and, pretty special.
You must have feared the worst on 18 as well, but it was a fantastic shot off the rocks to put you back in position.
Yeah, we obviously hit three wood there to give us that area. I've hit it pretty good, and it's obviously gone a little bit further than we were anticipating. Yeah, it's obviously, you know, I said it yesterday, I said it all week, if you're going to win, you need to play some good golf and you need to have a few breaks go your way. And yeah, if that goes in, you drop back and, you know, you can still make a six. But it kind of gave us, you know, that little bit more cushion there once that second shot was in play to kind of really enjoy it.
DP World Tour Championship winner. You're also the latest Rolex Series winner as well, which means the caddy gets a nice gold bib for next year. I'm sure we'll be pleased with that. But, I mean, that is the magnitude in this massive tournament, isn't it? And I'm sure when it sinks in, you'll be very pleased with your attitude this week.
It is. It's one of them, you know. Like I said, I've worked really hard with Foles, with Kev, with Pete Harrison and Garby and the guys from Callaway. We've had to change a lot since moving to Foles. We've had to change a lot of swing stuff. And in doing that, we've changed a lot of our numbers. And with that, obviously, the guys that are setting up the clubs need to do a hell of a good job to kind of keep up with what we're doing, and fitting it out. And, you know, kind of really the last 6 months, they've done a great job of doing all of that. And like I said, every week they're sending texts, wishing me well, hope everything's all right. And just, you know, I've got so many people around me that are here and have been here through a lot of really, really poor stuff. And it's nice that obviously everyone's here, you know, for this.
Lee Westwood the week before, very emotional after that win again to give himself that belief. Same story with Danny Willett, and same story in the States with Charles Howell III. He won and was in bits at the end. So, you know, there's a lot going on when you see a player just turn up after 4 days and win a tournament. You don't really know what he's going through. And in the end, it shows up, and it showed up there with Danny.
Yeah, a lot of the older, more experienced players coming to the fore, aren't they? It's nice to hear that emotion, actually. Danny's not an old man. He's 31 years of age, but he's had a rough time on the golf course over the last couple of years, and you do start doubting yourself. But
did you doubt him?
No, I didn't. Never doubted him. I know Danny quite well, and you can see signs of his game are coming. But I think when you're that good, when you've got that talent, and he's won big events as well. He's won six events now on the European Tour. He's won the Nedbank. He's won the European Masters, Desert Classic, the Masters back in 2016. So these are big events. He's a big-time player. And when he gets up, I just felt when he did find his game, he's just got the nerve, hasn't he, to see it out.
But you've seen in the past major champions even just falling off the planet. They just
you have, yeah,
and Danny was on that road.
I never felt that. I've got to be honest with you. Again, I went out with him a few times. He seemed to get himself on leaderboards, but didn't quite see it through at times. I remember down in Malaysia, he was leading, going to the last round, I believe, and had a poor. So it's not that far away if you're there on a Sunday. But, it's not that far away.
No, not recently. He's been signs in the right. No, but post the Masters.
No, but I think everyone thought, oh, he's won the Masters. He's going to go on. He's going to win this. He's going to win that. I think the Masters came very early in his career. Plus, a family as well came along, two kids. That takes a bit of adjustment. And travelling around with that green jacket and the expectation that goes with it, that takes some adjustment as well. And he's made that. It's not that long ago. He's
took some adjusting
to
for Sergio, didn't it?
I mean, it's going to take adjusting. Yeah, of course it is. Look at Sergio's run of form as well. So, yeah, he's
a great win.
He's around for a long time now.
Yeah. Stats wise, the Englishman tastes victory for the first time in nearly 1,000 days, 953 days, and he missed five of his first seven cuts this season. So there weren't signs immediately when we got into 2018 that things were on the up and up, but it certainly turned out that way. And he ends the season in 20th place in the Race to Dubai, up from 53rd with that win. Moves back inside the top 100 in the official world golf rankings after being as low as 462 earlier this season. That's a big jump.
Yeah, it's a huge jump. Just shows what's possible.
What you can do.
What he had in his favour, of course, is winning the Masters and all the exemptions. So he keeps playing in the tournament. He hasn't got to worry about where he's going to play next week. So that's a big plus.
Well, runner-up Matt Wallace wasn't too downcast, despite missing out on a fourth victory of the season.
You know, I've come out strong. I said to you yesterday that I've forgotten about everything that happened yesterday, and I come out strong today and really proud of myself. And hopefully this can bump me up into the top 50 in the world.
I was going to say that with your finish here, top 50, and that's massive, of course, because it gets you into some big events. And when you assess the season as a whole, three wins and second in this DP World Tour Championship, it's been a fantastic year for you.
It's been a great year. It would have been really nice to knock off this one. But I played with Danny yesterday and he played great, so all credit to him, and he's a good player and he's a top boy, so congrats to Danny.
What a season he's had, Matt Wallace. He's really put himself on the map.
Yeah, he's some player, isn't he? And he looks disappointed when he doesn't win as well. He hit that chip on the last. He was absolutely devastated when it didn't go in from about 35 yards.
I've got news for you. It'll happen again.
I know. He just expects a lot of himself. But three-time winner this year. He moves into the top 50. He's 44th, actually, on the world ranking. Matt Wallace.
Well-researched.
I know.
Mercy.
Well, you've got to do the work, Rob, as you know. But, good player. He's come from nowhere. Come from absolutely nowhere. Could have made the Ryder Cup team. Couldn't have gone any better for him. Can he keep it going? Yeah, I think he can.
Just shows you chopping about on the Alps Tour, and then all of a sudden, boom, 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 his rise has been meteoric.
He's chopping about. He won.
He won five in a row. I know he won six out there, but still. But you're not on the tour you want to be on, are you?
No, you're not.
I'm saying.
But
he's not in there.
You can only win at the level you're playing, can't you?
I understand that, but it just shows you where you can come from.
Yeah, of course.
That's not even on the Challenge Tour. That's Challenge Tour minus.
The big win for him was in Portugal when he won that co-sanctioned event, which got him onto the tour. And he's just gone on from strength to strength.
He sure has. Masters champion Patrick Reed finished alongside Wallace in second to end the season as runner-up in the Race to Dubai rankings presented by Rolex.
You know, it was a good season. I feel like I did a lot of things really well this year. I feel like I improved on a lot of things compared to last year. And, you know, and to go ahead and win your first major and then also to have a chance, a chance at a couple of events towards the end of this year to have a chance to win, it means I'm doing the right thing, going in the right direction. Now I just need to put myself in these kind of positions to actually close off the deal and get the job done rather than, finishing second, third, fourth, fifth.
Fair play to Patrick, joining the European Tour and taking part in our season closer. And finishing second in the Race to Dubai, it's all good stuff. He'll be back next year.
Xander Schauffele as well came over and played. Good to see him as well. But yeah, Patrick Reed, the Masters champion, he gets a bit of stick, doesn't he, Reed, from the fans? And I'm not sure he's the most popular over in America, but he puts himself out there. He travels a lot. Good player. I like watching him play golf. He's a bit slow, got to be honest with you, but he has a go at the golf course. He's a exciting player, makes loads of birdies. Yeah, I like him.
I tell you, if you're a young player, a young whippersnapper like 12, 13, you're starting to think you might be quite good at the game. If you want to study somebody on how to pitch the golf ball, how to pitch the ball, just watch Patrick Reed. He's just a joy to watch.
He's developing his game as well. He only had that draw. You can see he's overworking that cut shot now as well.
Yeah.
He's worked that into his game as well. So he's an all-round really good player, Reed.
He's got the cut shot that goes 5 yards right to left.
Well, yeah, a bit like yours.
That's right. I haven't got one that goes that little right to left. Top 10 from the DP World Tour Championship, please, Jamie.
Yeah, it was a logjam at 9, Rob. Alex Noren, Sergio Garcia and Kiridek Appibhanrat. Tom Lewis, what a season he's had in 7th, as has Dylan Fratelli. He was joint 7th as well. 3 tied at 4th place. Defending champion, John Rahm. Adrian Ategui, another Spaniard, has had a terrific season. And Dean Burmester, the long-hitting South African, he finishes in tied 4th. Runner-up, tied, Patrick Reed, Matt Wallace, and our champ from Sheffield, showing a bit of steel. Danny Willett.
Yeah, wonderful win for Danny Willett. Should also mention that Shubhanka Sharma won the Sir Henry Cotton Rookie of the Year Award after 2 wins in what's been a stellar first season on the European Tour. And he's, every time I've seen him on a golf course, looked very comfortable, on a leaderboard, contending.
Oh, yeah.
For a rookie performance, it was a great year.
Yeah, he had a bad day yesterday.
Yeah,
but
don't take anything away
from him because he's won twice this season.
Incredible.
Yeah, but had a fantastic year.
And Ian Poulter raced around the Earth course in 2 hours and 22 minutes after playing on his own due to Eddie Pepperell's withdrawal through injury. The Englishman still managed to shoot 3 under par and said afterwards on Twitter, "That was a nice swift round. You can see on the timesheet we finished in 2 hours 22 minutes, which was 92 quicker than the allowed time. Shot 3 under par. Terry Mundy's little legs were okay. Well done, Telpot."
He must have sent him on a few holes. There's no doubt about that. You've done. I've played in a tournament and you were out with Mark Rowe. And how long did it take?
2 hours, 2 minutes.
And what did you both shoot?
We were, I'm pretty sure we were 6 under between us.
Yeah, very
in
good.
2 hours, 2 minutes.
I was not too far behind you on the course, but.
On a hilly course.
Very hilly course. Yeah. I mean, that was an incredible feat.
That'll never be outdone.
You almost beat the greenkeepers putting the pins
out. We nearly killed two caddies.
I'm sure you did.
Because they were sucking on those cigarettes when we got to the end of the golf course. It was unbelievable. Top 10, Jamie, please, in the race to Dubai.
Top 10, Matt Wallace in 10th place. 3 wins and he just creeps into the top 10. There you go. Hao Tong Li at 9. Torbjørn Erlason, the Italian Open champ, at 8. Rory's at 7. Alex Norén's at 6. Justin Rose at number 5. Xander Schauffele, the HSBC champion, at 4. Tommy Fleetwood at 3. Patrick Reed at 2. And our champ from Italy, Francesco Molinari.
Who's going to be the least pleased person in that top 10?
Rory.
Yeah.
I'd have to say he'd expect better than that. But even on a bad year, he's in the top 10.
I'm sure there's much more to come from Rory in 2019, no doubt about that. Last week's predictions, it was a nail-biter. Your seat was frequented by John Hawksworth. He went for Lee Westwood, 5 points. Patrick Reed finished second, 15 points. So I got sliced up like a kipper. Rory and Tommy Fleetwood both had 5 points, so I got 10 points. In the end, after the whole season, the presenters were 200 and the co-presenters were 210.
Ah, lucky, Robert.
Yes.
Oh, that was so close, wasn't it? And you were leading all the way.
No, all the way. No, I'd like to say unlucky. That in my absence, Kaufman did a lot of damage.
Hmm?
And Roebuck.
Well,
Roebuck, the man that studies form... On several websites that he pays money to have a look at.
Mm. Do you blaming Dan?
Kaufman.
Well, it doesn't matter because you, Kaufman and Roebuck have to take us all out for dinner, which is great. Good news, that.
That's right.
I'm not sure where we're going.
There's a 24-hour McDonald's around the corner. Exactly. Don't worry about that. Do you want large or medium meal?
Exactly.
Yes. Fancy Race to Dubai game. Congratulations. This has been coming. To the co-presenters and also congratulations to Ingmar Bergman, who's won the Fancy Race to Dubai game after finishing over 2 million points ahead of David Hyde in second place. In the Race to Dubai show mini league, listener Aaron Griffiths was crowned champion, while Paul Eels was highest out of any presenter, co-presenter or production staff. Indeed, don't forget the production staff. They do very little, but what they do well in 12th. I was 56th, which is poor. Jamie, you were much better, 33rd out of 81 in our mini league.
Yeah, I was doing all right halfway through and then I don't know.
Do you know the secret to doing the Fantasy Race to Dubai?
What?
Is that...
Why am I taking tips off you? You're 56.
No, that you will accept this as a tip.
Yeah.
Do not have auto-select any given week.
No, well, I don't, but some weeks it can work for you.
Oh, no.
I seem to find a player, then I'll swap him the next week and then he'll go and win, something like that. You've got to take a view on a couple of players and keep him in because...
But they don't play the next week.
I'm always looking for the...
But you've got your banker, he comes, he pulls out.
Yeah, but I'm
out.
Always looking for the blooming guy who comes out from 50
the
to
1. The golden nugget.
I am, yeah.
Ah, the golden
Awful.
Nugget. Now, in news, 27 players earned their European Tour cards for next season after graduating from the qualifying school final stage at Lumine Golf Club in Spain last week. Alejandro Cañizares and Xander Lombard shared the spoils on top of the leaderboard, while the likes of three-time European Tour winner Mark Warren and Clement Sorde also earned playing privileges for 2019. It's a tough, tough gig. You know, not only do you go to the school when you've had a year on tour knowing that you've played badly, then you've got to turn it around and play well in those 6 rounds. It's very difficult, Jamie.
It is really difficult, yeah. But not all have played badly. Some are coming from the Challenge Tour or other tours around the world, and it's an opportunity as well to get onto the main tour. I mean, Alejandro Cañizares had a terrible trouble with his wrists over the last 3-4 years, you know, so I'm delighted for him. He had a fantastic last 2 rounds. And Xander Lombard, he's always looked a good player from South Africa, so fantastic for those to finish 1 and 2. Good news for Mark Warren fans to finish 19th. 27 cards available. Ben Evans got the last one in. And there were some noticeable players who didn't get their cards at the tour school. Gregory Havre, Gregory Bourdie, Marcel Seam, Richard Blandon, and Matteo Manassero as well. He didn't get one either. So it's a long way back for those gentlemen. But fair play to everybody that got their cards, and I wish them all well for the future.
And you can head to the European Tour website for a full list of those who qualified from the tour school. And at the RSM Classic and the PGA Tour, as was mentioned about 10 minutes ago, Charles Howell III overcame compatriot Patrick Rogers, still looking for his breakthrough win in a playoff, to win his third PGA Tour event. I mean, he's made nearly $40 million as a career, Charles Howell III. He was very, very emotional, and quite rightly too, because he started with a bogey and a double in his first two holes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's not a good start.
No, and for a guy who's consistently throwing away chances to win, for him to come through like that was huge
for
him.
When he came out, though, he was going to be the new deal, wasn't he?
Seriously. He's going to be the guy who's going to give Tiger a run.
And it's too much weight on anybody's shoulders out. So, but as you say, he's had a cracking career and a load of money, done well for himself.
Maybe this is the turning point for him.
And again, it's nice to see what it really means to people when they win an event.
Well, his family were there, and
nice.
he played like he had belief this time.
Good.
It was really good.
Well, you get knocked down a lot in golf.
You do, yeah. You don't. Well, you lose. You get used to losing, don't you? Basically,
we know that.
If you think the winner's the only guy that wins, the rest have lost. Jamie, top 10 in the world, please.
And very interesting it is too. A top 10 in the world with Ricky Fowler at number 10. Tommy moves up a spot to 9. Rahm stays at 8. Rory stays at 7. Molinari stays at 6. Not much change, really. DeChambeau at 5. Justin Thomas at 4. DJ at 3. Now then, Koepka goes back to number 2, having not played. And Justin goes up to number 1, having not played. So that's interesting. They both got exactly the same point average as well, 10.03. Now, what's going to happen next week? Is Koepka going to go back ahead or what? It's a slight anomaly here in the world rankings, I'd say, when neither are playing. I know they're getting their points taken off from 2 years previous.
It would take a four-day conference to explain to everybody how it works on a week-to-week basis. Essentially, it's a pretty good guide to...
It is very good.
You are
it
pretty much
really
where
well.
You should be.
No, the golf world rankings work really well.
Yeah,
just
it does.
The last couple of weeks, it's been strange.
You do get those odd things that come in.
And swapping spots, but
that's
there you
go. Right, but we'll see. Now, coming up, two tournaments. The ISPS Handa Melbourne World Cup of Golf, first of all. Great golf course, Metropolitan Golf Club. They've got some wonderful courses in that corner of Australia.
The Sandbelt.
Oh, the Sandbelt in Melbourne. Couldn't be better. The format, Jamie.
Yeah, they play four ball first day, foursome, four ball, foursome last day. Foursome last day, that's gonna make you friends or not, isn't it? Sorry.
So it's stroke play?
Stroke play, yes. Yeah. 72 holes, as I say. Good format. And... some interesting teams gone down there. As you say, this part of Australia down there in Melbourne, known as the Sandbelt, some wonderful golf courses, Royal Melbourne, which I absolutely adore, Victoria Golf Club, Kingston Heath, Metropolitan. Had the World Match Play back here in the day, where Steve Stricker won, WGC Match Play. So it's, again, fantastic golf course.
If you want to see firm, fast, slopey greens,
brilliant.
It couldn't be better.
You need some touch. You need some touch to play this course.
103 bunkers around. That's quite a lot of bunkers.
There's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of bunkers, and the sand there would be absolutely beautiful as well. So some good teams playing. Belgium, Peters and Detry. I got a feeling you're going to pick them. England have got Poulter and Hatton. Denmark, Kjeldsen and Olesen. France, MLV and Alexander Levy. Lowry and Dunn for Ireland.
Well, there's, I mean, some really good pairs. But what you didn't mention...
Yes, go on.
I mean, if you want the epitome of copy and paste, this is it.
Yes,
there are
on.
Many species of native birds at Metropolitan Golf Club, including the noisy but beautiful sulfur-crested cockatoo and the multicoloured rainbow parakeet.
You're quite a bird watcher. You like a cockatoo, don't you?
Apparently, it's a multicoloured rainbow lorikeet, which is closely related to a parakeet... except there's a lorry in the front of it.
Yeah.
So a para.
Well, there's some lovely wildlife in Australia, Robert.
Yes, indeed.
Some snakes and spiders.
They've got 15 of the world's top 20 most poisonous snakes in Australia.
Nice.
And some
hopefully
nasty
not
spiders.
On this course.
Nasty spiders. All the sharks you could wish for if you go swimming in the oceans.
Mm.
There's a lot
beautiful
going
place.
For it.
Beautiful place.
But if you're on the fantastic slopes of the greens on the Sandbelt in Melbourne... You couldn't be in a
Can't
better place.
Can't beat it.
No.
They've got the best courses.
And Australia just coming into its summer as well. It'll be mint down there.
Yeah, it'd be lovely.
So you've given us a flavour of who's playing.
Yes, I have.
Who are you going for?
You're giving me first choice. You're not going to moan this time, are you? Whoever I pick.
Well, I moaned last time because you cheated. You chose my one. But you can go now. You've got a
go. I know you're going to go for Belgium. So I'm going to go. I'm actually going to pick Australia. Mark Leishman and Cameron Smith, I think.
Okay.
They're the favourites. As well, by the way, but...
well, they will be.
I think they're fresh.
Of course, they both know well. Leishman's playing well.
Yeah, home advantage. So they're my pick.
And I will
You're going for Belgium, obviously.
I will go with the two Belgian boys.
Yes, I knew you would.
Yeah.
You pick them all week, all year long. Peters and Detry.
The two Thomases.
You do?
Thomas Peters, Thomas Detry.
Good choice, though. Both playing well.
Yeah.
Peters looks like he's coming in some form.
He's been spotty over the last few weeks. He's had great rounds in tournaments and just a bit of inconsistency. If he maybe playing with his fellow youngster.
I've got a feeling with these two, it's all or nothing.
Explain yourself.
They're both going to take it on, aren't they? in the foursomes, it could be a bit dodgy on the Friday. So if you're in it Saturday morning,
I'm not sure around that golf course you can go out there with the. I'm just going to take it on. I'm going to bring it to its knees.
But that's the way they play. That's the way they play.
Well, I think they've got a bit more cunning about them than that. Well, I think you've gone very one-dimensional with our Belgian boys. I'm saying that they've got every aspect of the game completely under control. So that's that sorted, the World Cup.
Yeah, we've done that.
Go across the Pacific Ocean, and then eventually you get to, if you go the right way around, to the Honma Hong Kong Open, presented by Amundi at the brilliant Fan Ling.
Yeah, it's a great course, Fan Ling.
It's a composite, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been there quite a few times. They had a hurricane go through there about 6 weeks ago, knocked down a load of trees, but it's like they've cleared it all up. The course is in mint condition, Don Boulay's told me, over there in Hong Kong, who's the chairman of the Greens out there and one of our commentators. Great course. It's not a course you can overpower. You've got to position the ball. You've got to work it left to right, right to left. The greens are small, very slopey, Bermuda greens. It's a wonderful course, but it seems to suit the same players. And Miguel Angel Jimenez is playing. He's won it four times. He won the British Senior Open this year. He could do well, you know. I wouldn't put it past him. Tommy Fleetwood out there, he's played well there before. Two back last year, and he was third in 2016. Rafa Cabrera Bao has got to win one of these. Hong Kong Open.
Seems to play well there all the time.
He plays it all the time, and he just seems to find a way not to win around there. But Sergio's there, and Patrick Reed as well. So there's some good players. Robert.
I've got another copy and paste for you.
Oh, go on then.
Fan Ling is a tight and fiddly short track that rewards accuracy both off the tee and from the fairway.
Very good.
I don't know. I'll tell you what.
That's a real insight, isn't it?
That's good.
Yes.
Brilliant last hole, by the way.
Great hole, yeah. You've got to thread it. You probably hit 2 iron off the tee,
probably.
Leave it on top of the hill, leads you sort of 7 or 8 iron to the green, over the water. You can't go long, and short's not great either. So, yeah, it's a wonderful hole.
And we've seen over the years, James Kingston comes to mind, coming down that last hole, and you just tweak it a little bit left and
you're in trouble.
It's out of bounds down there and all sorts.
Lots can happen on that last.
Yeah, it's a really, really good last hole. So you've given us a clue who's playing. Who are you going for? There's some big names
here. I'm going to let you pick first so that there's no dispute.
No dispute needed. I mean, it's hard to look past Fleetwood, Reed and Garcia and Cabrera Bao.
It is.
It's hard to look past, though.
Go on, then. But you are.
I am.
Go on, then. Who are you going for?
I'm going to go for Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Oh, I was going to pick him. okay. You've gone for Fitzpatrick. It should suit him all down to the ground around there, shouldn't it, really? I think he was top 10 last year, Fitz. I'm tempted to tip Canizares from the tour school.
Do you know what? I've also looked at that.
I'm tempted to tip him because he's a great putter. Hits it straight. He's not long, but he hits it straight. But can he beat these guys at the moment? Probably not quite. I have to tip Tommy because I still think he's in form.
Okay.
If he hadn't had 74 on Saturday in Dubai, he'd have been a lot closer, obviously.
He would have been, yeah.
Didn't hold any putts.
Nothing happened on Sunday.
The putter worries. He didn't putt very well on the weekend, but...
But you can have a weekend like that where the putter just goes a little bit cold.
Yeah,
that can happen.
I'll go for Tommy because I know it's a course he loves.
Right, okay, brilliant. That's superb. And that's it for now. Next week, we will review the Honma Hong Kong Open presented by Amundi and the ISPS Handa Melbourne World Cup of Golf. Plus, we'll also look ahead to the Australian PGA Championship and the Fraser Bank Mauritius Open at Anahita. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat via europeantour.com or by downloading the official app. But for now, from Jamie Spence, who's gone for?
Australia in the World Cup and Tommy Fleetwood in Hong Kong.
And I've gone for Belgium in the World Cup and Matthew Fitzpatrick in Hong Kong. And myself, Robert Lee, it's goodbye.